The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
Are you ready? It's time for your weekly dose of Wayne's Comics.
Welcome to episode 516 of the Wayne's Comics Podcast. I hope you're having a great holiday season, and thank you so much for listening. We wrap up the year with a great interview with Jonathan Hedrick, who's back to talk about his Kickstarter for Quicksand issues 1-3. We delve some more into the comic as well as his other projects, including Capable, Freak Show, as well as other great books. I continue to make progress on getting my voice fixed, and you may hear a difference as we move forward as I adjust to some changes. But as always, be sure to pay attention to what my guests are saying, because that's the most important thing, and that's what this podcast is about. There's a lot to get through in this episode, the last of 2021, so let's get on with the show. I can't think of a better way to end up 2021 than to catch up with Jonathan Hedrick, who has a great Kickstarter going on, which has already met its goal for Quicksand issues 1-3. How you doing, Jonathan?
Good. How you doing, Wayne?
Good. It's good to talk with you again. I every time I see your stuff, my success is associated with your name, so that's a good thing. You had a goal of $4,000, and as we're recording this a little early, you're over that goal, and that's a good place to be.
Yes, it is.
Talk a little bit about what Quicksand is about for somebody who may not have heard it before.
Sure. Yeah, Quicksand is a 5-issue planned sci-fi horror miniseries. It's about this event that occurs near the pyramids of Egypt, where a hole appears in the sands and these monsters come running out. They attack a nearby city and then quickly retreat back into that hole. Afterwards, the leaders from around the world plan to unite and send a team of experts down into that hole to figure out where these creatures came from to plan in case this ever happens again. But that team called Canary One, they never come back. So the wife of the team leader, she's trying to figure out what happened, and she wants to send her own team down in there. So issues 2 and 3 are what's new of this campaign. We find out more about the mysteries of these creatures, the characters that were introduced in issue 1. And in my signature writing style, there's going to be twists and turns and cliffhangers.
Because if you go to the Kickstarter page, you've got some of the pages on there.
Correct. Yeah, that's previews for issue 2. I didn't want to give away too much.
Yeah, well, this is a big surprise.
Yeah, yes.
Shall we say. I don't know if you want to talk about that because it's on there. I guess it's fair games that's on the,
on the page. So we ended issue 1 on a cliffhanger with those creatures coming back. So we jump full throttle into issue 2 with the military base that is around this hole that's been there ever since being attacked again by these creatures. So this will be the first time that the creatures come back. And we'll have to see where how that pans out for our characters in issue two. And then issue three, we get a little deeper into the mystery.
There's a, I don't know if I should spoil it, but there's a thing, when the creatures come back, they don't come back alone.
Correct, yes.
So
yes.
This is a big surprise. That was the surprise that got me. I was very surprised by that.
Yes.
So that there's all kinds of, this is only issue two, right?
Right, yeah. Yeah, full wait, throttle. See
What else have you got in store for us in the other issues coming up?
Well, you'll have to read them, Wayne.
now, you did something interesting with this Kickstarter that I noticed more and more people doing, is that you include issue one. It's not just issues two and three. It's one to three. And that's right. Good because that helps people who may not have gotten one to be able to get all three and catch up like that. I see more and more Kickstarters doing that. Is that is this the first time you've done that kind of thing?
No, I've done that with previous campaigns. I've done that with Capable for the multiple campaigns I've done for that series. And it's just wise to do. You don't want to isolate any new potential backers that you know may have just discovered you or the project. So what I did unique for this one, though, is I'm calling issue one the version of issue one that's available in this campaign, a second print, and it has a different color scheme to the front cover. So it not only is it's something new for those collectors that are returning, but it's also helps keep those people that were supporters for the first campaign, their issues a limited collector's item. So I think it works in multiple ways by doing it that way.
Now, you said a different color scheme. Is that your colorist has come up with that?
Correct. Yeah. Well, my colorist provided me with three different color options for that main cover for issue one. And I obviously used one of them as the main cover. And then I did a secret variant cover with one of the darker hues that he gave me. And I sprinkled a few copies of that and some of the backer rewards from issue one. Then I use the third one as the second print version for this campaign.
What's great about your book is that this is really an international group of creators.
It is, yeah.
The colorist I mentioned, he lives in India, right?
That's right, yeah. Sunil Gagar. He's in India, and he's fantastic. I've worked with him on multiple projects, and I'm really fortunate to have him part of this, part of Quicksand.
And your artist is from Italy, right?
That's right. Yeah. Deborah Lancinese. This is the first project I've worked on with her, but she's amazing. I give her a script and like the next day I practically have layouts for every single page. Wow. I can't turn in scripts fast enough for her. So she actually has already completed all the line work for issue four and is waiting for me for issue five.
Wow.
So, yeah. She's talented.
Anybody who knows artists tend to take probably because they have to draw everything, probably the longest part of the whole process.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And of course, that's that's to be expected. The writer probably has one of the easiest jobs. You just write, you can write a whole page, an explosion happens or something, and then
exactly,
you got to make the whole thing all bring it to life. So
absolutely.
That's great. So it's really good. I like the symbol you have for Canary One. That's kind of fun, too. You even guys get your names in there.
Yeah, that was a really cool little patch that the letterer Christian did for the previous campaign. And I that's something I love to help use to market the project. I think it's really smart and a lot of fun.
Now, we talked before. One of the things I really like, but I think it's worth mentioning again, I love strong female leads.
Yes.
Because I don't – the female mind to me is still a mystery, and particularly in comics. Mm-hmm. And guys I've seen for decades, and I have a fair idea what's going to happen. But you put a woman in there, and I'm scratching my head going, what are they going to do next?
Yeah.
So I like that about her. Did you find it easier or the same, or how was it to write a female lead like that?
A little bit 50-50. I wanted to write her – the character Stephanie Noon as this mysterious, tough person, but still give her some vulnerability, which we'll see further on in the series. And to kind of balance that out and make sure that I'm not crossing any lines, I intentionally brought in Deborah because not only because she's talented as an artist, but to give that feminine quality to the main character. So there, like certain poses and stances and things like that, I think she, as a woman, can really portray that better panel to panel.
Mm-hmm. Now, what about the monsters? Did she come up with the design for the monsters, or did you, or was it a combination of you?
It was a combination. I think the monsters we really spent the most time on. We really didn't want to copy any particular monster. So we looked at monsters we liked and tried to pull from different elements. But, you know, it's hard to have something 100% original nowadays. I think I've had people say that they look like the monsters from Something's Killing the Children, the monsters from the movies A Quiet Place and other things. But, you know, I really liked the xenomorphs from the Alien franchise. So, mm-hmm. But we wanted to give it our own little characteristics. So, mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a combination of a lot of things we were influenced by. But it was fun to come up with that. It reminded me of back when I was a kid in middle school and high school, and you just start drawing monsters and see what kind of crazy stuff you come up with.
Mm-hmm. Pretty threatening looking, I have to say. Yeah.
Absolutely. That was the most important thing, is these things have to look otherworldly and just something like we wouldn't see on this planet.
Mm-hmm. Now, you guys came up with something that I always admired Jack Kirby for doing, and those are guns.
Yeah.
He would come up with these dimension-shattering guns, and the way it was drawn, I believed it.
Yeah.
And you, in the preview pages, you show the main character, and she's showing this one guy how to use this gun.
Right.
And it's a pretty interesting-looking gun, I have to say. Again, was this a collaboration between the two of you?
I have to give Deborah full credit for that. I literally wrote, and like how you mentioned before, Wayne, about how easy our jobs are as writers, I literally wrote futuristic gun. Deborah was kind enough to send me a few ideas before she committed to any of them. And, you know, I picked what I liked the most. And, yeah, I'm really fortunate to have her as the artist on this. She is wonderful.
I really love the art. I really do have to say that the story is suspenseful and the art is dynamic, I have to say.
Thank you.
It's just a great, great book. And as we said, they've already reached the goal. And one thing we didn't mention, we need to mention, is that the project is going to conclude on Thursday, December 30. That's this Thursday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time.
Yep. Get it in, folks, now or never.
Yeah, that's the thing. The thing you want to do always is be sure to get in there early rather than late. If you wait and then you forget and you miss it, you miss all the goodies and all those good things. So.
Definitely.
That's a good thing to do. And then another thing that's interesting is I always like the goals. Because mm-hmm. I'm one of the pledgers for that, and I'm looking forward to getting those good things. I got issue one before. Mm-hmm. So I'm interested to see that you've got digital bundles, physical copy groups. Yeah. All five covers can get in one bundle. I think that's a great thing to do. Then you've got a comic shop bundle. Do you get how many? You've already gotten two backers for that. you offered 10. Do you get many of those? How does that work?
Well, in the previous Quicksand campaign, I had 10 retailer rewards available, and all 10 of them were scooped up.
Wow.
And I made sure to treat those retailers well. I threw in extra copies of those mystery secret covers that I mentioned before.
Wow.
I threw in extra promotional products, movie posters, and things like that. And right now, I've only had 2 out of the 10. So I've been patiently waiting for those retailers to maybe read those emails and those messages I've sent out. I know this is a tough time. It's the end of the year, and the brick and mortar stores have been hit hard the past 2 years. So I'm not going to, you know, twist any of their arms. If they're not able to financially support it, then, you know, that's fine. But yeah, I've had a lot of retailers in all my campaigns support me that way. That's why I continue to do these. They literally are getting them at cost. I'm not making any money off of those retailer tiers. I mean, and most of my other reward tiers, I'm not making much money off of it either. It's paying for printing, and what's left over is reimbursing me for what I've already paid into the project.
You got a level for if you pledge $250 or more, you get original artwork by David Summey.
Yes, yeah, that was really cool. David's a great friend and colleague of mine. We never really worked together on projects, but we've been in the same community, and he did this artwork for Quicksand for free. I didn't even ask him. He just said, "Hey, I want to thank you for your support. Here's this 11x17. Do whatever you want with it." So I'm throwing it into the campaign as a reward tier. David's going to get the money for this. This reward tier, if someone backs it, whoever backs it gets that original artwork. And in return, I'm using it as the artwork for a free print that all physical backers are going to get now that we cross that $4,000 mark.
Wow. Okay, cool. Now, the most expensive level, and it intrigues me. I want to know a little bit more about it. I'll never be able to afford it, but it's $750 for a burned cover by artist Legal Burning. Is that the company?
It's an artist. His name is Randy Proctor, but his art name is Legal Burning. He lives in my area of Brevard County, and he does pyrography. So he literally burned this cover, the artwork on this cover, and he does these things that are just so realistic and one of a kind. For instance, he did this Hulk blank cover, and he burned a almost photo realistic version of Lou Ferrigno's Hulk on the cover. And it's amazing. And he sells these things from like $500 to $1,000.
Wow.
And he sells them like literally. He's not sitting on these things. He recently has moved into doing, you know, this on blank sketch covers. And he did this one for me as well for free.
Wow.
I didn't ask him to do it. He's like, "Jonathan, I want to support your project. Here it is. Do with it what you want." And I said, "All right, I'm going to throw it as a reward tier. If someone backs it, I'm going to give you the money for it, Randy." So this is supporting another artist, and yeah, you get this one of a kind blank sketch cover that's literally burned with fire. It's awesome.
It's burned on a regular paper cover.
Yes, on the matte sketch cover. Yep.
Okay. Because when I hear burning, I think of wood.
Yeah, and that's where he started his art from. He was doing like making wooden like coasters and just takes chunks of wood. But then he started moving to these as these blank sketch covers got more popular. He just started practicing, you know, his craft on that, and yeah, it really took off. So I think this is, I want to say number 80, because he numbers them on the back with his signature. So they're really limited and rare. And he's done one for another one of my books. It's just super cool and talented. It's just a really neat thing to have.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what it looks like. Somewhere I'm sure it'll pop up on Facebook or something. I'll be interested to see it.
Yeah, I have a full-size picture of it further up in the campaign if anyone needs to see it. There's a larger image of it, not just in that reward tier. So.
Okay, cool, because yeah. I'm sure it looks great. It sounds like a wonderful thing. Once again, let's say that to reach the goal, we got to make sure it's over the $4,000 asked for. Thursday, December 30 at 10 o'clock in the evening. That's coming up real soon, so be sure to get in there and do it as quickly as you can. What number of Kickstarter is this for you? How many have you done?
I believe this is number 8.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow, you're getting to be an old hand at this by now.
I know. Yeah. They're a lot of fun. They're a lot of stress. But, you know, it helps keep my pulse on the, you know, the indie comic world. So it's a labor of love. I wouldn't trade it for anything else.
It kind of helps as far as the money goes, too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I have to have the capital up front to do a lot of this financing, get the project moving. But this is a good way to make sure it's, you know, viable and I can continue to do it, because the one Kickstarter is actually paying for the next one, to be honest.
Okay. Very good. Very good. So be sure to get out there and support it. The campaign is called, let me make sure I get it exactly right here, Quicksand 1-3.
Yes.
So be sure to look for that, and be sure to get in there before Thursday so that Jonathan knows exactly what is going to be coming his way, which is always a help.
Yeah. Thank you.
So let's talk about your other products as well.
Sure.
I guess the other big news has to do with the Recount, which is now moving to, was a regular comic that's been collected, and it's moving to the movies, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. There was an announcement a few weeks ago. We have a director attached, and he's co-writing it with his writing partner. So, I'm still trying to wake myself up from that dream, but looks like it is reality, and it's just super cool. I'm trying to stay humble through it. I'm fanboying out myself. I want to see like the casting and all that cool stuff. I can't believe that it's out of all, there's so many awesome indie comic book projects out there. And for mine to be moved in this direction, it's just more than I could ever ask for.
It's really cool. Yeah. Do you get much input on it, or you just kind of hear about it when the rest of the world hears about it?
Yeah. I got a little heads up beforehand on, you know, the powers that be told me, all right, we're going to announce it before this particular convention, and I, you know, sit with my phone nearby at there, you know, while that convention's going on. I'm like, when's it going to happen? When's it going to happen? And then whatever, you know, they decided that, you know, they'd have to wait till the next con and then the next con. So I kind of tried to pull away and not take it seriously. But then one day they announced it and it was real. I was in the grocery store. I'll probably never forget this. I was in the grocery store and my phone just started buzzing like it was on fire or something. And I'm like, oh, I guess this is we're going forward with it now.
It's happening. Wow.
Yeah.
That must be great. Do you have any ideas of who you want to play certain characters?
Absolutely. Yeah. For instance, well, I am probably going to have to change this choice, but I wanted what's her name? Diane Lane. Mm-hmm. Diane Lane, yeah, to play President McDearman. But she recently played the president in Why the Last Man's television adaptation. So I don't think she's going to play a president twice, but one could hope. And I would really love I'm terrible with these actors' names. Zoe, what's her?
Deschanel or whatever?
Not Deschanel. She was in Avatar, and she plays Gamora in the Guardians of the Galaxy movies.
I
would love for her to play Special Agent Barto, the Secret Service agent. Zoe, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
It's going to come to me later, and I'm going to scream in the middle of nowhere.
That's right. I mean, I wake up in the middle and I go, her last name is
exactly. Yeah,
that's what I do. If I have done a project and in the middle of the night, I'll wake up and say, there should have been a comma there.
Yes, yes.
So, I know what that's like. So, why don't you, by the way, tell people what the story was about if they don't know.
The Recount is what I like to call an anti-political thriller about this president who was impeached and found guilty of voting fraud and other crimes. And during his resignation speech, he's assassinated by someone in his Secret Service detail. And then shortly afterwards, while the vice president, who has now assumed power, is trying to speak on the air to the public, the conspirators of that assassination hack the feed and announce to essentially the world that they're not done yet. And they're going to go after everyone who helped put that president into power, including those who voted for him. And they release that information to the public and encourage people to assist them with taking these people out. So it's a very fast-paced four-issue miniseries. And yeah, if you like Jack Ryan and one of that Tom Clancy-style storytelling, then I think you'd really like the recount.
Mm-hmm. It's a suspenseful book. I couldn't put it down.
Thank you. Thank you.
I read individual issues, and the bad news was I had to wait for the next issue to come.
Yeah.
That was hard because it's a gripping book. I never know what was going to happen next.
Oh, I'm glad to hear that.
So I loved it because I have read comics for decades, literally, and some books I pick up and I can tell you, the moment I look at the cover, I can tell you what's going to happen inside.
Right.
And when I can find something like what you're writing, I am always thrilled because I like not knowing.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah.
That's good stuff. So any idea when you're shooting to have this come out?
Not sure. My best guesstimate, between writing the script and all the Hollywood mumbo jumbo, it's probably safe to say 2 years.
Okay.
Or more, but I hope everything tracks on time with it. I'm plan on meeting talking with the director at some point. He's a busy guy, and hopefully they get my input, and maybe I can do a cameo in it, like good old Stan Lee got to do in all the Marvel movies. But we'll see.
Wouldn't that be great?
That would be fun. That would be real fun.
Stan Lee doesn't know what he started.
Exactly.
The elder creators like to be in their own stuff. And it's funny is if you know what the creators look like, I can't watch anything anymore without looking to see if the creators are somewhere in there someplace.
Right.
Yeah. This is great stuff. Really good to see. So it's going to be good. Any more from the recount, or right now is that going to be the whole story?
Oh, no. Lots more planned for the recount. I've almost done wrapping up the prequel one-shot, which is going to be called The Recount Preamble, which explores the events that take place before the first volume. It's a 36-page one-shot that should be out the first half of 2022. And once I get done with a few other scripts, I'm going to be knee-deep in writing the second volume of the recount. Mm. So that's going to take up – that's probably going to be my writing duties for the first – quarter of 2022.
So this could be a series of movies.
I hope so. Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be something.
Yeah.
Now, of course, whenever I talk to somebody who gets a property that is taken to Hollywood, they always are a little surprised by the final product.
Yeah.
Are you prepared for that? When you see what's happening and it may not be exactly what you originally planned?
Yeah, I'm trying to let myself understand that they may change the title, characters, genders, and all that stuff. That I'm going to let Hollywood do Hollywood's thing. They know that business way more than I do. So I can only hope that it stays relevant or true to the theme. But, it is four issues, and it's combined about 108 pages. So they're going to have to take some liberties to expand that to at least an hour and a half, 2 hour feature film. So I can appreciate, the need for them to develop some more and have to change things as well.
It just always bothers me and some other people when I read the book and then I go and see the movie.
It's something completely different.
That was not in the book. At that point, I wonder, why did you bother to buy, if you're going to make it so very different from the book, why did you bother to buy it? Why didn't you do something totally separate?
Yeah.
Anyway,
who knows?
That's Hollywood. Wiser minds than ours are obviously
exactly.
So anyway, we're looking forward to that. That'll happen. Now, let's talk about the Freak Show franchise. How's that doing right now? What's going on with that?
I've had to put Freak Show, the Freak Show Kingdom, as I like to call it, on the back burner because I've been fortunate enough to have a lot of projects come my way lately, and between Quicksand and Capable, and I have something with a new publisher that I haven't worked with before that's going to be coming out in 2022. So I was hired to write a mini series with them. So I have deadlines with that, but I do have someone working on an 8-page Freak Show universe zombie story. So that's going to be coming out, and I do have in mind what I want to do for the next full length, but it's just getting the time to put pen to paper. But I'm trying to fine tune a writing schedule where I'm, starting one and not letting one title stay too far in the distance. So, yeah. And at the same time, I'm working a full-time job outside of comic books. So that eats away 40 hours every week, if not more. So,
wow. Well, that's a good problem to have, though.
It is. Absolutely. Yep. I'm very thankful. Yep.
There are a lot of people who'd like to have that problem.
Yes. Absolutely.
Now, you brought up the other book I want to talk about before I let you go. Mm-hmm. And it's, I think this is where I came into your writing originally,
mm-hmm.
was Capable. And you mentioned that. Why don't you talk a little bit about what that book is about?
Yeah. Capable is my superhero series that takes place in a world where all of a sudden people with disabilities begin to gain superpowers that are opposite of what their handicap was. So in this world, there were no superheroes, but one day they are, and they are former people with disabilities. And the main focus is a high school kid named Derek Davidson, who was in a wheelchair without the use of his legs, and now he's a speedster like the Flash or Quicksilver. The series follows his struggles with adapting to these superpowers and how some people around the world aren't doing the right thing with their newfound powers. So it's a lot of fun to write. I just handed over the script for issue 6 to my editor.
Wow.
4 issues are completely out. My previous Kickstarter campaign was for issue 4, Capable. The line work is done for issue 5. And like I said, the script is done for 6. And 7 will be the last issue. And I plan on writing that next month. And yeah, it's bittersweet, but I'm really excited with how this the 7 issues for Capable will pan out. I think it's going to be really neat and explore, that what if concept that that's the overlying theme of Capable.
You mentioned to me once before that you consulted with the community.
Yes.
Around that. And it really shows the thing I really like about it is how human the characters are and how there's one issue, for example, he's always been kind of like a helper on the track team. And he gets to, now he's got the ability. He could go and because he has super speed, he could get on the track. But now he's gone the other way. He still can't be on the team, but for just the opposite reason. I thought that was a really – isn't that the way real life goes?
Yep, yep. The grass isn't greener on the other side, and all those other cliches. Yeah, I've just – speaking of meeting with the community, I had someone come up to me at a recent signing whose girlfriend – someone who identifies as a person with disabilities. She's in a wheelchair, and he just couldn't, compliment me enough about the series, which it was extremely flattering because that was my main concern was people being offended in that community. But fingers crossed, and so far it's been a lot of good response from people who identify in that culture.
Didn't I read somewhere where you got an award for that book?
Yes, through the Comic Chat Authority gave me Best Indie Comic of 2021 for one of the best. I'm reading the plaque right now. So it's one of for one of the best indie comics of 2021. So wow, it's not good. The best indie comic book. It's one of the best indie comics of 2021, which still, is very flattering. Right?
That's still a good place to be, though.
Yeah, it's an honor. You know, they could have given that to Recount, which is, you know, more in your face and has higher sale numbers. But for it to be capable, that's, you know, so real cool that that one gets recognized in that way.
Well, you know, some folks look at it and are very nervous about that whole business about dealing with folks in that community and stuff like that. But to me, sometimes I like a comic goes places I'm not familiar with, and I'm not terribly familiar with that community. You know, I don't know people.
Right. Yeah. So the escapism goes a long way sometimes.
Oh, no, it's educational. I mean, that first issue in particular, before things really start to percolate, we get to see his life. And it's not always a happy one. You know, people kind of take advantage of the fact that he's, you know, he's not able to move at the speed that other people might.
Right.
And I really was touched by that. I got to really care about the character with that.
Yeah, so thank you.
That really, to me, now, of course, I'm just dying to see what's going to happen next. Now that we know that the end is coming out, how is this going to wrap up? I'm going to be curious to see that.
Yeah, it's been really fun to write. Issue 6 gave me goosebumps, and I held the script back in my arms. I'm like, wow, I really went there. It's lots of twists. Like I mentioned before, it goes from one direction to the other.
I love a good surprise.
Yeah.
And that's one thing your writing always does for me is I'm always surprised in a good way, not in a, what the, where did that come from stuff. I don't
That's nice to hear. Yes.
I always want to make sure that some people lay the groundwork and you always have, you know, the things happen that make sense.
Right.
And so I always, magic is one thing that always drives me crazy because, you know, you can have magic and you can paint yourself into a corner and all of a sudden they literally pull a rabbit out of their hat and something they've never talked about before suddenly comes into play and resolves the situation. And I'm always like, no, don't do that to me. I'm a careful reader. I'm going to get someplace. I'm going to go, oh, that's what that meant. That's kind of what.
I know exactly what you mean. Yeah, they pull some tchotchke out of their pocket and that saves the day. I'm like, wait a minute. That you can't just do that. I mean, it defeats the purpose of all the storytelling you just did.
Well, that's the thing. I get so frustrated. One of my favorite magical books, which didn't do that, fortunately, was The Dresden Files. Mm-hmm. If you ever get a chance to read that, it's very good. Everything that happens magical has always been laid out ahead of time. And he never puts himself in a place where he can't use the magic we already understand to resolve the situation. He may do it in a different way, but at least it's not this, you know, oh, well, now I'll pull the wand from so-and-so that I've never even mentioned before, and now I can resolve the situation.
Yeah, it's better writing. Yeah, and it doesn't offend the reader.
Yeah. So, obviously, you're going to Kickstarter capable moving forward. Do you have like a calendar for Kickstarters and kind of making sure they don't bump into each other and stuff?
Yeah, I've recently mounted a dry erase board that's on the wall behind where I do my typing and has, I'm looking at it now, it has all of my different projects and the different stages they're at. This one is waiting on colors. This one's waiting on lettering and so forth. Wow. And it's got to the point where I have calendar reminders on my phone to remind so-and-so to provide an update on this and that. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of project management right now for me. I love every minute of it. It's a lot of fun. And like you said, it's a good problem to have.
Do you hope someday to be able to do that full time?
I really do, and I hope that day can come sooner than later. I can feel myself at my day job just being like, I could be doing this and that right now if it wasn't this. But I just got to stay humble and let the chips fall when they're supposed to.
Yeah. Well, you got to pay the bills. That's the...
Absolutely. Yep.
I used to work at the comic store, and I used to help him. But when I did it, I bought so many comics from him that I never actually made a salary.
Right. Yeah.
And paid for my comics, and that was all that I was able to do with all the money that he gave me. So
yeah,
I got to the place where I was going, I never make any money off of this. He said, but yeah, I make some. I'm able to sell more comics, he says.
Right. So.
That was kind of funny stuff. But once again, let's talk about, we want to make sure that people are reminded about Quicksand 1-3. Mm-hmm. Again, it's going to conclude on Thursday, December 30. It's only a few days away at 10 p.m. Eastern time. You want to be sure to get in there because now, we didn't. Let me ask, go back and ask, do you have stretch goals planned out for that? I didn't notice that.
Yes, we do have a few stretch goals. We do have a upgrade the B cover to a foil variant, and I really hope to see that happen because I really like how that cover looks, and I think a foil variant would look really awesome to that. Mm-hmm. And then if we can get to 200 backers, everyone, even if you pledged only $1, you'll get a copy of Cthulhu Invades Oz, which is a 140-page graphic novel anthology that I have a story in as well. And I mean, you can't beat that. You can pledge $1 and get a 140-page digital PDF of a comic book. I mean, come on, you know?
Wow.
So, and then there's more planned afterwards. I haven't posted yet, but we just got to get there.
Well, thing to do is now's the time to jump on because you're not only going to get the project you support, you're going to get these other good things.
Absolutely.
So really, really good stuff. Anything else that we should know about, Jonathan, or is this kind of – sounds like it's keeping you busy.
Yeah, I'm keeping pretty busy with these projects. I also have a comic book coming out in stores soon called The Space Cadet, which mm-hmm. is an all-ages comic book. Mm-hmm. I did that with an artist I've worked with before named Stefano Cardicelli. Really excited for that one to hit the streets, so – ask your local comic book shop about pulling that one aside for you. It's all ages. You can buy it for your kids. You could just roll it up and stick it in the back pocket and, you know, read it like you did when you were a little kid pulling comic books off the spinner rack. This is a fun comic book for everyone.
I got a chance to read it. It's a good book. I really enjoyed it. I like all your writing, to be honest with you. So when I see your name on it, I buy it.
I appreciate that, Wayne. Thank you.
It's really good. So let's make sure people can follow you as far as like social media. How do people do that?
Follow me on Twitter and Instagram, Jonathan Hedrick. It's Hedrick, H-E-D-R-I-C-K. And yeah, I'm still on Facebook as well. That's the three socials that I'm on.
You don't have a website right now, do you?
No, that's on my to-do list, too. If I in between scripts, I'll get one of those up and running.
In between making the product, you got to come up with a way to publicize the product.
Exactly. Yep, that might help to feed one hand.
Well, Jonathan, you're doing wonderful stuff. I can't wait to see what's going to happen in the future. First time I read Capable, I said, whoever's writing this is going to have some great stuff coming out. And boy, is that true. All the books you've been making are wonderful things.
Oh, thanks, Wayne. And I appreciate that.
I can't wait to see. Now, in 2022, we'll see what good things happen here because you had a really good 2021.
Yes. Yep. There's a lot of things in the works for 2022. Things I wish I could talk about right now, but yep, I'm really excited for some more news to come out.
I like to hear that because when you say that, that means that there are actual good things in the works.
Yep.
So I can't wait to see it. Jonathan, just keep up the wonderful stuff.
Thank you. I plan on it.
People need dramatic examples to shake them out of apathy, and I can't do that as Bruce Wayne. As a man, from flesh and blood, I can be ignored, I can be destroyed, but as a symbol.
Get the latest from the comics universe. News, interviews, previews, and reviews.
listen to the weekly Wayne's Comics Podcast so you can keep reading your comics.
May your next year be even better than this year. So until next time, keep reading your comics.
Hal Jordan of Earth, Green Lantern of Sector 2814. The Viceroy of Demrak 7 claims that when we assigned you to police crucial peace negotiations, you punched him in the face. Is this true?
No, sir. I punched the Viceroy in the stomach. Then I headbutted him in the face. Sir.